Would you just bow your head one more time? Father, we desire this morning to be in your presence. We desire, Lord God, that we'd have ears to hear the word as it goes forth and also have a heart that is open and ready to receive it. Father, accomplish much today. We begin and we sense your presence. We know that you're already speaking to hearts. Question is, Lord God, would we have a heart open and ready to hear what you have to say? As we look at discouragement, as we look at Nehemiah and the Israelites, Lord God, may we apply your word where it is needed in our own lives so that we might be encouraged instead of discouraged, that we might be moving forward rather than moving backwards, that we might be empowered by your spirit rather than doing things in our own strength. And this morning that you would accomplish that in each one of our lives in a unique and special way. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to Nehemiah in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, we're going to be looking at the verses 1 to 12 in a moment. And I want to speak about discouragement. I want to speak about how sometimes I think that people live in that discouraged state. They not only get discouraged, but they stay there. And they live out their lives. And I think after a while, if you stay there so long that you don't even realize that you're in the discouraged state. And when you think of discouragement, you think of depression, and that definitely is a form of discouragement. But there's other ways that in our lives we can be discouraged, and other ways we can live defeated lives. And if we open up this book of Nehemiah and we really look and dig into not only the fourth chapter, but if you would take the time at home to look at the whole process of Israel being discouraged, the whole process of Israel not obeying God and missing out on what he has, and you would see that in this fourth chapter that God wants to deal with those that are discouraged. God wants to speak to those that the enemy seems to have taken control of every part of our life. And in the case of Nehemiah, he goes before the Lord. It tells us that he's fasting and praying. He's desiring for God to speak to him. The Lord does speak to him, and he gives him a word and tells him that he needs to go out and speak to the Israelites and tell them that they need to return unto the Lord. And he tells them that he is going to be the one that is going to restore the wall in Jerusalem. He is going to be the one that is going to unite the Israelites, not only in a relationship with him, but also within themselves. And Nehemiah is given this special anointing. He's given this special calling to come to the king, and he lays out his request before the king. He tells the king that if it pleases the king, I'm reading scripture, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city of Judah so that I can rebuild it. And to try to condense this a little bit, the king sends Nehemiah off. He gives him a blessing. He gives him a letter of content, meaning that as he's going through these different regions of Israel, he's carrying the letter from the king that these people are to give him what's needed. He had the financial backing to do these things, and he sets off. He goes to the people, and he begins to tell them what God has showed him and what the king is allowing him to do, and they appear to be ready. By all sense of the word, they appear to be ready. He approaches them, and he says, "Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be disgraced. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God and what was on me and what the king had said to me. And the people said to him, 'Let us begin building. Let us begin rebuilding what God had shown him, and let's begin to rebuild the good work.'" And my question to you this morning is this: have you ever sought out the Lord? Have you ever had him begin to speak to you and give you directions and give you the energy and the ability to energize people only to find out that the negative people just begin coming at you? You know, God begins to speak to you what you should be doing. He gives you a kind of a mission to go forth. You begin to take that direction and you find that there is negativity comes out within the people that you're talking to. It seems like the devil gives you a kick in the butt. And here's the thing. You're too far in to quit, but you're not far enough to get and stay on focus. Anybody besides me? Am I talking to myself? Nehemiah chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Whoops, I guess I should get 4. There we go. When Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Amorite, who was at his side, said, "What are they building? Even a fox climbing on it would break it down and destroy the wall. Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over to plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Amorites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs of Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people of Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is given out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemy said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Anybody ever been there? Doesn't take long for us to see the sources of discouragement as you look at some of these things. And if you're taking notes, there are some factors that bring on discouragement, and there are some factors that will bring you out of discouragement. Some of the factors that I see in looking at this scripture very early on and very critical is ridicule. Ridicule will bring discouragement. They stand there and they look this man of God right in the face and they say, "What do you think you're doing, Nehemiah? What do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? That wall will never stand and it will never be strong enough, and the enemies will attack you and defeat you. You will die in the midst of trying to do what God told you." A negative mockery of what he was attempting to do, attempting to destroy what they themselves have no investment in. You ever notice that? Those that are coming against you, those that have discouragement, those that want to bring you down, are the very ones that don't have any skin in the game, so to speak. They have no investment. All they think is that their calling is to bring you down. Their calling is to tear down what God is already wanting you to do. Negativity brings in. Ridicule begins to be a source of discouragement. The Bible tells us that we should love our neighbors and love our enemies. But you know what the sad part is? Most of the time, that's the same people. Those that are around us. Those that we're involved in, those that are right around us are generally the same people. The same people God tells us to be loving are the same people at times that become our enemies. They are the same people that begin to throw the negativity towards us. And we're told that all the people around us are to be loved and cherished, and it finds it hard when discouragement comes in and when the very people that you're trying to reach are the ones that are being a hindrance in where God is taking you. In the case of the Jews rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, this was definitely true. In reading Nehemiah chapter 4, we see that he's saying that on all four sides, all of the neighbors that are supposed to be loving you, on all four sides, they're coming in at you. They're speaking their mockery. They're speaking their negativity. And, you know, they're trying their best to shut down everything that you're doing. It's their neighbors doing the best to discourage you, keep you from doing what God has called you to do. Here's the thing that I'm finding out. You know you're discouraged if the number one thing out of your mouth is, I'm the only one doing anything good here and I'm getting attacked. We see it all through scriptures. We see Moses did it when he was called to do something. He felt like, well, I'm all by myself. I have a stutter. I do this, I do that, and I can't do this. And Elijah did the same thing. And Nehemiah here is doing the same thing. Discouragement begins to come into our hearts when we start feeling like we're the only ones doing it and all the world is attacking us. When if we had this and saw the big picture, that's not the case. Others are going through what you're going through. Others are facing things in their own lives. Others are trying to find where they're fitting in and doing all these other things. If I had to define discouragement, the dictionary says it's a loss of confidence or enthusiasm. Ever been there? Where you lost your confidence and your enthusiasm. And when you define it like that, we've all been discouraged. We have all lost confidence in what we're doing and where we're going and the energy level, and the enthusiasm seems to be at times rock bottom. And you sit there and you say, how do I fix this? Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you, as a child of God, you can't fix it by yourself. Say amen to that. You cannot fix this by yourself. I know there's all kinds of self-help groups and there's all kinds of self-help books out there, but discouragement is not something that you fix by yourself. 1 Peter 4:12 says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. First of all, realize that you can't fix this without God's help. Realize that fighting discouragement is not something you do by yourself. Isolation is the worst thing that you can do when you're discouraged. It's the easiest thing. I want to get to myself. I'm going to close the door. I don't want any visitors. I don't want anybody to talk to. But that is the worst thing for discouragement, is to try to isolate yourself. The devil will beat you behind that door. One way to fix it, though, is to identify it. Be honest. This is where I'm at. See, the church always is supposed to be a hospital where you come in and you're ministered to, and you can be honest of where you're at. And sometimes we tend to think, well, I'm afraid to let anybody know that I have something wrong with me. I'm afraid to let anybody know that this is how I'm feeling at this side. But first of all, identify it. Speak to the Lord about it. Speak to those and get around good people that can help you through that time, seeking the Lord and direction. Verse 13 says, therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your son and your daughters and your wives and your home. Identify it. Get the right people around you. Let the Lord be in it on every step of the way, and fight for what God has given you. Can you say amen to that this morning? Fight for what God has given you. We've all been there. I don't need to do a poll. We've all been there. The problem is if you stay there, That will be the difference if you're living in discouragement or if you're just going through a time of discouragement and you're moving on. Now, some of the other factors that you need to look here, again, if you're taking notes, you might want to write it down, is fatigue. We go through this time of extreme tiredness resulting from mental and physical exertion. It's exhaustion. It's a time of fatigue. It's a time when you're washed out. It's a time where, as Vince Lombardi, the former Green Bay Packer, says, fatigue makes cowards out of us all. You've been there. You understand that. The Israelites, it's a time they're saying the strength of the laborers is failing. They underwent this project. In 52 days, they wanted to build this wall. The whole time, the enemy was fighting them, and they had to come to knowledge that God gave them that said, you know what? One family member is going to fight with a spear. One family member is going to watch the gate. One family member is going to build the wall, and together you're going to get the wall done, and that you need each other. They were wore out. Fatigue had caught up. They were halfway done. The energy level is low. They had been beaten up by the enemy, and the enemy seemed to be at their strongest, and they seemed to run into this runner's wall where the exertion was just more than they could take, and they wanted to shut down. Every one of us, if we took a moment, would know that point in our lives where your body begins to shut down and you say, I got nothing left. Anybody? I got nothing. I got nothing. Lord, I got nothing. People around you, I got nothing. And you get to the point where you got nothing so bad that you don't care if they like it or not. Because you're washed out. There's nothing left. I'm done, cooked, smoked, and eaten. The one thing says, I bought the t-shirt, you know? I've been there, done it, and bought the t-shirt. You're there. There's no denying it. And then right after fatigue, the next thing that comes in is frustration. Fatigue and frustration work hand in hand to bring you down. Frustration is the feeling of being upset or annoyed, especially because of inability to change or achieve something. Anybody been frustrated? I'm proud. I can say that word now. It took me 13 years, but I can do it with almost without thinking now. If you don't get that joke, that was one word I struggled with for so long, it would be a pause, and I'd have to break it down by syllable to get through it. God is good. But frustration is that feeling that you get where you're doing everything you can. You're upset. You're annoyed because nothing changes. What's supposed to be achieved is not happening. And I don't know about you, but I have to be careful because with my personality of going and going and going high octane, I go till I drop. And then fatigue sets in, then frustration sets in, then I'm mad because somebody else doesn't want to go to that level, that they're so washed out. So you have to be careful. Make sure it's the vision that God's giving you and you're just not running on empty. The Israelite says, there's so much rubbish here that we're not able to build the wall. Have you ever worked so hard at something and wondered if it's worth it? I know, just me. I know. I didn't hear anybody. I heard you. All of us have poured our lives into something, into a project or into a life or into a work or whatever it is, and you want that to succeed so bad. And you just wonder if it's all worth it because you seem like you're spinning wheels in mud. You're spinning your wheels at something that's not being completed. The vision here of completing the wall and having this beautiful, strong wall to be able to keep the enemy out was replaced by a nightmare of the enemy that just come in and kept fighting them. The reality of getting the wall done was overseen by the enemy coming in. The reminder that not only was the wall down, but they torched it. I don't know if you get that when you read that scripture, but not only did they knock the wall down, not only did they break that and signify the security that they had behind the wall, but they torched it. They not only wanted them to have a wall that was destroyed, they wanted to make that wall ugly. They wanted them to know that they have broken bricks and the enemy is fighting at every step of the way. And they wanted to replace that vision that God gave with a nightmare. Anybody been there? My friend Reverend B.W. Hambrick wrote a book years ago called Surviving Burnout. And Reverend Hambrick experienced that firsthand in his life and explains what it was to go through that. And he wrote it down and journaled it. And he has a PhD in counseling in that area of burnout in whatever area of your life. And he watched pastors burn out. And he watched their lives self-destruct. And some of the things he says in the book is, hard work is not a problem. Hard work isn't going to get you burned out. It's when you have hard work and you lose focus on why you're doing it or who's to help you do that. And one of the things that I really like a lot in the book, he's talking about burnout, and he says, I had to come to a point where I surrender my distorted views and allow God to set me free. Can you say amen to that? Do you see that? What's there in that word? Once we surrender our distorted views of how things should be and we really look at what God wants and allow him to set us free, David Jeremiah, the author and pastor, says that we need to live out our lives. We have a choice. We can live out, we can wear out, or we can burn out. So I guess the best out of the three would be live out. The worst being burnout. And that the definition he gave for burnout would be pulling the whole weight uphill by yourself. Pulling the whole weight uphill by yourself. I know you've been there. I'm guessing frustration would be thinking that you have to do it all yourself. Frustration would come when you have that weight going uphill and you're not getting any help and you're realizing that unless somebody would help, nothing is going to change and the very thing that you're trying to take uphill is probably the thing that is going to run you over. Next part of that would be fear, and we talked about that last week, is in what you perceive to be scary. I shared my fear of roller coasters, and I shared the things that you know, there are some things that are scary, but they're perceived to be scary. Verse 11 and 12 says, also our enemy said, before they know it or they see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, not only once, but 10 times over, wherever you turn, we're going to attack you. This is not happening. Nothing will derail you faster than fear. Nothing will derail you faster than being paralyzed instead of being energized for what you're doing. The factors to discouragement is fatigue, frustration, and fear. So in a few minutes, there is a response that we should. How should we respond? Number one is this, call out to God. Don't let isolation be your enemy. Don't go through it yourself. Don't be macho. Don't be, I can do this myself. Discouragement is not something that you do by yourself. You need someone or a group of someones to get around you. The church is supposed to be around you. That's why God, one of the reasons God puts us together to have fellowship and to build relationships with each other is so that no one falls through the cracks. Hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn your reproach on their own heads and give them a plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sins be blotted out from before you. For they have provoked you to anger before the builders. Do you hear that prayer? Each one of us has prayed that prayer in this way. Get them, Lord. Sick them. Don't you understand, Lord, that they're attacking your servant? Don't you understand, Lord, they're attacking the builder? Don't you understand, Lord, I don't want you to give them salvation like you've given me. I don't want you to forgive them like you've forgiven me because they've come against your builder. Instead of revenge, instead of heaping coals of hatred on them, respond as the Lord has responded to us. Maybe we ought to change the way we think those prayers. Maybe we should be praying first instead of last. Anybody say amen there? We make statements like, we have tried everything. Now all I have left is to pray. Maybe you want to start praying first. Maybe you don't want to wait till you're exhausted and you have nothing left in the tank. See, we do everything for the physical. When you're that physical tired, you're going to lay down. But we don't do things for the spiritual tiredness that we have. There is a lot of spiritually weak Christians trying to do battle in their own strength, and they're losing. So the first thing is to call out to God. The second thing is to keep doing what you were called to do. Amen? Don't lose focus of what God has told you to do. If he's told you to do it, if he truly told you to do it, then your job is to move forward. You don't get that luxury of saying, I quit. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for they had a mind to work. You want to keep from being discouraged? Keep the mind of work. Have a mind of work instead of complaining. I didn't expect anybody to say amen there. Have a mind to work instead of a mind to complain. Small churches would not remain small if the right people to change things wouldn't give up. Can you say amen to that? We've all experienced it. This church, other churches. About the time something's taking off, somebody's quitting. When all others are quitting, the ones doing the work of the Lord in the strength of the Lord are the ones that are going to stay focused. Keep your eyes on the Lord instead of the enemies. Can you say amen to that? Keep your eyes on the Lord instead of the enemies. Who are you following? Who's in charge? Why would you give the enemy the benefit of keeping your eyes on him? And this goes for every area of your life. I'm not talking just about ministry. I'm not recruiting for ministry this morning. It's for every area of your life. Everything should be brought before the Lord. All of these things should be brought to him and allow him to minister to us. Allow him to put his blessing and his anointing on these things. And the third thing is to see the big picture. Irma Bombeck says this. Now, it's got to be truth if Irma Bombeck says it. Says, I speak at college commencements all the time, and I tell everyone that I'm up here, not down there, not because of my success, but my failures. And I love this. Then she proceeds to spin all of her failures. A comedy record album that sold 2 copies in Beirut. A sitcom that lasted about as long as a donut in our house. A Broadway play that never saw Broadway. Book signings where I attracted 2 people. One wanted directions to the restroom and one wanted to buy the desk I was sitting at. You have to tell yourself, I am not a failure. I failed at something. And there's a big difference. Can you say amen to that? There's a big difference. CeCe's got 2 slides. CeCe, if you show the first one there. I want you to see something. If you were blindfolded and you were one of these people touching that elephant at any one point, Look at the difference of what you would think that elephant is. One saying a fan, one saying a spear because he's touching the tusks. It's a snake because he's down on the ground. It's a tree, it's a wall, it's a rope. The big picture is going to tell us that it's an elephant. In our own little minute minds, we're looking around and we're seeing just a small picture of that. Cece, you show me the second one, please. Here's another one. We're looking through that one little picture and all we see is a little bit of water and some rocks. If we really got the big picture of what God was doing, we would see how limited that we are in our own strength and looking at things in our own way. I'd rather look at, and I love the ocean and the water. Wouldn't you want to see the big picture of what God's doing? God sees the big picture and is working in areas of our lives that we may not be able to see. He does not always allow us to see the whole thing, which sometimes is very tough for a person that wants to know everything in advance, wants to be prepared, wants to feel like they're in charge. Those kind of people, when God gives us just this limited view, it's very hard. I'm getting ready to close. We live in an age of rage. People go from zero to crazy in seconds. You see it when you're behind the wheel. We see it today as we mourn again two more shootings that take place. Broken dreams are shared at every water cooler in the workplace. As you sit and you talk to these people, every place you go, there's broken dreams and people fighting inside of families and outside of families. And I do funerals where they ought to be mourning over the loved one that's gone, but they still, even in a death of a loved one, sometimes can't get it right in a relationship with each other. And we see that realizing that fatigue and frustration and fear doesn't come from the Lord. Our Bibles don't tell us that God gives us these things. Obviously, He wants to prevent us from having these things, seeking Him out in our lives. It's time to stop doing things in our own strength. Yeah, it should be amen. It is time to stop doing things in our own strength. It is time to stop trying to feel like we have to carry the world on our shoulders. It's time to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and to empower us and to energize us. And the option of quitting is not an option when God's in it. But too many times we ask God after the fact. When we don't have anything else, okay, God, well, you see what a mess I'm in right now. But the Spirit of God dwelling within us, empowering us, guiding us, can change our lives. Amen? Calling out to God, spending time with God, hearing what He's saying. Keep doing what we're called to do, no matter what. Discouragement's going to happen. Just don't live there. See the big picture. God has this. If we're willing to let Him in on that. Say amen to that. So many people running around trying to do these things in our own strength. Are we willing today to let God be the light in our lives? We say yes. Then we walk out of here on a Sunday morning and we just pick up, it's like, to me, some just carry the trash from the car, bring it to the door, throw it down, come in here, sing a few songs, say hallelujah, amen, go out and grab the trash, and then take the week again. My thing to you is, when you throw the trash, don't go dumpster diving. Leave it there. Don't go after it. We cannot pretend that it's not there. We have to start it acknowledging it and letting people and God help us. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning. This message is for every single one of us, including the person that gave it. And we need to start really throwing the trash out and closing the lid on the dumpster. We need to acknowledge, Lord God, that us doing things in our own strength is going to bring fatigue, frustration, and fear. And when we go through these things, Lord God, we have to be honest enough to be able to call out to you. We need to be honest enough to get some people that we know would be praying, that we know that would be helping, so that we're not doing this thing in isolation. Speaking to hearts today, Lord God, I know that we are. There's many that need to hear this message and respond to you in a positive way to move out of discouragement, to look past circumstances and see a God that wants to do something new and fresh. May you get honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.